One and
welcome to Racing Home Podcast.
God damn it, you beat me to the punch. But yeah, this is the Fez and welcome to Racing Home Podcast. Oh man, so what do you do this weekend?
You're joined by Nick Agutter and myself, Fez Bobber.
Yes, I always forget to put our names out, and like the moment I do remember our names, it's very robotic. Yeah, Fez, thank you for introducing ourselves, starting the show off. You know what? I'm going to let you record everything and do all the editing.
No, I'm good. It's, you know, got it.
For you, it's like a single little hour of your week. For me, it's another 2 hours of editing. No, it actually, I can get it cut down to an hour, hour and a half, because I have to listen the whole thing over again. So it's about that amount of time plus a little bit extra for editing.
Gotcha. Well, I appreciate your efforts, Nick.
No problem. And I post on the social media. So if anyone's messaging the Racing Home Podcast Instagram handle, that's going straight to me.
Well, you're not sharing the password with me. So how can I post on social media?
Yeah, I should probably do that. Anyways, we'll do that later.
Okay. How was your weekend, man?
Pretty freaking good. This past weekend for us was Christmas. I hit the mic. But yeah, it was Christmas weekend. So recording today on Tuesday the 26th.
Happy Toyota.
Okay, so is Toyota-thon a whole week thing, a whole month thing?
I actually don't know. I'm just wishing everyone happy Toyota-thon for a Merry Christmas.
How long do I have to listen to Fez about Toyota-thon? That's funny. But yeah, happy Toyota-thon if you're into Toyotas or anything else that should have died like 20 years ago.
Or a Lexus December to remember, you know.
Lexus December to remember. So it has to be a whole month then.
Probably. Not the point, anyways.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, we met up this past... Or how was your weekend? What did you do?
Since it was Christmas and all the homies were in town from California and other places, including the infamous Ravi.
5 minutes.
Take notes. There you go. Mm-hmm. We tried getting him on the podcast, but he was busy. But yeah, he was over and he brought over a Cybertruck, a pre-production model, and that was pretty cool. I don't know how much I'm allowed to talk about it, but I will refrain if possible. But yeah, so just great hanging out with everyone. Ravi and Michelle's baby shower or baby party thing was really cool. But yeah, that's kind of like that.
You know what? I just realized they never actually said the name of the baby. I don't know. Well, granted, they've kind of I know they spoke about it, but yeah,
it's like they have an idea of it, mm-hmm. and they're trying to see if it'll stick, so they're not sharing with people yet.
Do you think it'll be named something along? Do you think it'll start with an R?
So I've been sending him TikToks because I don't know why I started getting TikToks for daughter names, okay. So I've been sending it to him, and apparently one of the TikToks had really good names. So it's close to one of them. I don't know which one, but it's close to one of them.
You should send it over to me later.
Okay.
Sure. does it start with an R?
I don't know.
Bro. Well, okay. So they're two cats, Rusty and Riley. That's why I'm going with like maybe it'll be an R because the cast names already start with an R. All right. We'll keep on guessing for later. But yeah, it was awesome to go and hang out with all of them because I drove over on Friday. Oh, actually, like driving over. So typically, like Christmas, the holidays leading up to Christmas or Thanksgiving, full traffic. And this Friday was no different. Fortunately, never had any actual traffic between Austin and Dallas. But what was pretty cool is that driving up here, I had to pee just like anybody else on a road trip. So I stopped at a random rest stop, and at that random rest stop was another Focus RS. So that was kind of cool meeting up with the guy. He actually had his girlfriend. In any case, a silver. Or it was wrapped. It was a gray wrapped Focus RS with black racing stripes. And him and I just drove from that rest stop all the way up to North Dallas together. Turns out he has family up in Dallas and he lives in Austin. So definitely need to reach out to him. His name is James. But it was pretty cool cruising on up to Dallas. Made the drive a lot more interesting. And then, by the way, can you hear Carol and her mom in the background?
Very, very faintly.
Okay. Let me know if they become more obnoxious. But in any case, that was pretty cool. And then, oh man, like what you had brought up with the Cybertruck, it was pretty cool checking it out. As far, I mean, I think we can talk about what we visually saw. I mean, and visually what we saw was exactly what everyone else has seen on the internet. Yeah. It is, I mean, it is unique and it is out there, but it's not bigger than a F-150, like a crew cab.
So
that F-150, it's...
We parked my truck right next to it, right?
Yeah.
My Tundra. And I like kind of visually just saw how big it was and whatnot. Am I allowed to share this? I don't know. If we need to edit it out, we'll edit it out.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Go on.
Then and out, you know?
You mean me?
Yes, Nick. If you need to edit it out, thank you, Nick. So it's actually about as wide as the Tundra, but shorter than the Tundra. The bed itself is a little bit smaller, and the wheelbase is a little bit smaller. And at its lowest height, it's like a sports car, right? Like the wheel gap is barely existent. But at its the highest height, it's taller than the Tundra.
Yeah.
Which is
FYI, their dimensions are already posted, so that's all fine to talk about.
Okay. Yeah. It was really interesting to see it. I mean, the rear steering, as Jason Kamisa said too, like he drove the truck on a go kart track, right? In the video, in the Haggerty video, and like,
Rob
drive around.
Yeah,
Like it's insane. It's insane how good that truck is.
Yeah, it could do a U-turn quite easily. It is incredible. And then I also saw Ravi, we also met up later in the weekend with some high school friends for dinner. Mm-hmm. And then seeing him park the Cybertruck inside of a parking garage, backing it in next to a column and next to another car. Like, I know for even, like, my Expedition, even it being the shorter wheelbase model, would have been a couple of turns and corrections. No, he just pulled right on in and backed in. It's very easy to maneuver. It's cool. And is it striking visually? Yes. Are there downsides? Yes. Are there perks to the way it's shaped? Also, yes. Like, there are perks to take advantage of, like the tonneau cover. Mm-hmm. Like, that power sliding tonneau cover and how it, like, folds right into the backside. Mm-hmm. And because of the way it's shaped, it's aerodynamically pretty efficient, surprisingly. Like, it's actually pretty cool.
I mean, you want the layer of separation, I think is what it's called. I can't remember from fluid dynamics days.
You're a mechanical engineer, right?
I am. I took a, not intermediate, or whatever, advanced
beginner.
Fluid dynamics.
Beginner?
No, oh, advanced fluid dynamics. My professor actually he worked for Ferrari as an engineer. And he taught us a lot about like aerodynamics and racing and the aspect of like, you know, having a flat floor and whatnot. So it's really cool. But yeah, so you don't want the wind to separate, essentially. You want to keep the layer attached for as long as possible to make a more aerodynamic car. And that kind of makes sense with the triangle up top. It's and then the way it kind of slopes down all the way to the taillights. Because there's no layer of separation there. With the normal truck, it separates right at the roof line, and then you have that big, you know, vortices being generated right off the edge of the roof, which, you know, that's just dragging.
Which makes sense because, like, when the tonneau cover is closed, like it's covering up the bed, you gain 10% of your range, which is huge. 10%. Yeah, like if you're, let's just call it 300 miles. His model could do a little bit more. I think it was like 340. But 10%, that's 30, 34 miles of range. And that's a pretty significant difference just purely based off aerodynamics. So
I'm going to make my truck into a triangle. I'm going to add a little like sheet metal or cardboard triangle to over the bed of the truck.
Oh, man. There's some Jeeps that kind of look like that. Like they get rid of the squared off and they do a wedge shape or a slant back. I think it's called slant back. Not nearly as well, technically it's more aggressive of an angle, but in any case, you got to make the wedge up in the front too. It cannot just be the back.
Yeah. And the truck itself is just, as everyone's been saying it, you know, it's just really sharp.
Okay. It's funny you bring that up. Let me, stop you right there. Yes, it is sharp and ironic. So like earlier today, I was telling you, I was going to the gym and then coming back here before starting the podcast, and my gym session actually ended up getting cut short because I ended up cutting myself on gym equipment on a piece of like steel on the gym equipment. And so I was like, damn it, I'm starting to bleed. So I cut it short, got a band-aid, and went home.
You good?
But oh yeah, I'm fine.
Okay.
We'll find out in 3 days if I get an infection.
Nice.
But it made me think about the Cybertruck, and yeah, there are some sharp edges, sure. But like, I've cut myself on my car before. Mm-hmm. I've smashed my thumb between the door and the door frame. So it is no different.
Yeah, but if you were to do the same thing on a Cybertruck, it'd be way worse.
I don't think it'd be worse. I think the door jams? Oh, okay. Well, that okay. Let me just step back.
There's no rubber there. It'll literally cut your fingers off.
It has. I think it has torque sensing. We tested it out. The windows are definitely like pressure sensing, to where if it detects an object, it'll stop
there.
You can't because it's soft closed.
No, it's not. Are we talking too much about the Cybertruck? I don't want to get him in trouble. I already have to delete an Instagram post about it once, so I don't want to talk too much about it and then get in trouble. Let's move on from the Cybertruck. How about that?
Yeah, you didn't slam it shut, by the way. That was the wind. Moving on. Okay. Yeah, that was fun hanging out, and you were able to go and get your little Christmas video posted.
Yeah, so I wanted to do a late night shoot of, like drifting around with lights and on the car. I put some string lights on the 8.6 on top, and then I put underglow on the bottom to do a little Christmas video shoot inspired by this guy named Jay. I met him at Laguna, but he did it with a GT3 RS. I did it with an 8.6, same thing. So unfortunately, it was kind of foggy out there. My window was covered in fog and mist, and I turned the wipers on and it broke the string lights on top immediately before I even left. So that was kind of a bummer. But we got there, and it was late at night, and I could hear you clicking.
Ah, damn it. I thought my microphone was better. All right, go on. I'll stop.
And then we got there, and it was like a warehouse area and near the airport. And I was told by someone that works in that area that it's pretty empty and there's nobody really there. Lies. Since it's near the airport, there's a lot of cops nearby, especially in the middle of the night. So it was kind of sketchy. And we did have to run from some cops here and there, which was, I felt like I was back in college, you know?
Yeah, it actually really did feel like we were back in college.
Fun fact, I'm gonna talk about the cyber, like last item on the Cybertruck. I saw a brand new 911 GT3 RS today, right?
Okay,
and it was getting zero attention in public, right? And mm-hmm. the Cybertruck was getting way more attention at 3 a.m. in an abandoned warehouse.
It is crazy to hear and see how much attention that thing pulls. Because Robbie was actually telling us about driving up here. I don't know if I can talk about this. I'll say it, and then if I need to, I'll edit it out. But in any case,
start talking, and then this is the stop, and then we'll let it.
Yep.
Okay.
But when he was driving up here from Austin up to Dallas, he was telling us that on the highway he was cruising down, and then a Mustang, raggedy old Mustang with a comfortable soft top, comes up, slams the brake, matches speeds, rolls down the window, and then 3 iPhones pop out and all of their camera flashes turn on as they start like video recording. And that was part one. So that must have meant the driver, passenger, and someone in the backseat at least was all recording. And then the ambulance comes up behind the Mustang and flips on the emergency lights. Mm-hmm. So the Mustang hurries up and gets out of the way. Ambulance turns off his ambulance lights and then kind of cruises up to Ravi. And then they look at each other. I think from what he told us, they gave each other a thumbs up and he went on his merry way. But like, I joked to Ravi saying that, like, you know, that was probably the highlight of his day. He probably saved 5 lives. But the thing that he remembers about that day is helping out the Cybertruck owner, or, well, in Ravi's case, Cybertruck employee.
Yeah.
But yeah, it didn't.
Definitely a very cool truck.
It is cool. It is very unique to see on the road. So I get it why people are looking at it. What I mm-hmm. do not get, and I will die on this hill, this tangent, is that I do not get why people will like slam on the brakes, get a recording that they're going to look back at later and realize that it's blurry, You can't see much detail. Like, all of the photos and videos you want to see of it are on the internet. Like, Tesla's is far higher definition. Go look at that. But no, they're just
It's just like us too. If you saw like a cool Lambo or a Ferrari or 911 GT3 RS, something like that on the road, right? Like, I took a picture of that GT3 RS because it was my first time seeing that photo. I can go Google a GT3 RS and get a better photos out there. Yes, but it's like me, like it's more that I'm remembering seeing it in person for the first time. It's not necessarily like, oh yeah, like, oh, I like want to see the Cybertruck for it in the future. It's more that that this was the day where I saw the first Cybertruck ever in my life. That's kind of how I take it.
Yeah, I kind of see that. But the other thing too is with the Cybertruck, a lot of people, maybe it's just the kind of people that were out late at night when we were, people were not afraid to come up and ask questions or look inside. So
first question when those kids pulled up and I started talking to them, they're like, yo, is that the Cybertruck? Can we do donuts around it? And we're like, no.
No. And then we were like, roll up the window, Robbie, get out of here. We got to get away from here.
We got to go. We got to go.
And then shortly after that, the cop rolled up. And for the first time, late at night, at like after midnight, seeing a cop roll up to us made me feel better. Like, I thought at worst he was going to like tell us to like skedaddle away and like go home. No, he himself wanted to like get more information and look at it. So that was a unique perspective, and that cop was really cool. He had his own car build that he was doing. Forget exactly what he was doing, but
Corvette.
Yeah, I was gonna say something with a V8. Okay, so Cybertruck comments here. Talk to Ravi and verify everything.
I'm actually gonna argue a little bit more about the Cybertruck.
All right, continue.
Hold on. So a lot of people are hating on the looks, right?
Yeah.
I want to understand your opinion. Do you now seeing it in person? What do you think about the truck? Can you see yourself getting one?
Because of the looks, no. Because of everything else underneath that sheet metal, potentially. Actually, no, I take that back. No, today, no, absolutely not. And I say that because the infrastructure is simply not capable of all the perks that I would be using a truck for. So my main reason for going to get a truck would be for towing specifically. And let's look at California, the trip that we did 2 months ago where we drove 3,600 miles round trip.
Would it be possible?
No, not at all. And I was thinking about this weekend when I was driving my wife's Model 3 back from Dallas, was that all the superchargers that we stop at heading up to between Austin and Dallas, I can think of one explicitly that has a pull forward charger and everything else is backup. So if I was towing a trailer, I would need to back up or unhitch and back the truck up or piss off everybody else and take up like five chargers as I pull up parallel to the charger. So it's just unfeasible. Now, all that said, we are here in 2023, about to cross 2024. The way I look at the Cybertruck is the same way I looked at the Model S 10 years ago when it first came out. In the sense that, like, it is a fantastic car, incredibly quick, a lot of great technology that I'm sure will spill over into other cars and people will try to mimic it or have their own twist. In a way, we're kind of seeing that with the Rivian and F-150. I mean, granted, the Cybertruck came out first, and then we see these other trucks later when they, I mean, those iterations are much easier, so they came out much faster. But what I'm getting at is that we are now at the point where the vehicle needs to come out first, and then the infrastructure will follow. The same exact thing happened with the Model S, where the vehicle comes out first, and then the infrastructure follows. It's a chicken and egg problem. Which one needs to come out first? Of course, nobody's going to build a freaking charging network if there's no vehicles to charge on it. So similarly, there's no chargers that are really thinking about towing because there hasn't really been any electric vehicles that have crazy towing capabilities yet at a mass scale. Yes, the F-150 is out and Rivian has been out, but both of those are using CCS chargers, which are simply not as adequate. And they none of the CCS chargers that I have seen are very effective for towing either. So it'll be...
Is it Rivian CCS too, or is it NEX?
Literally everything in America is CCS except for Tesla.
Gotcha. Yeah. So,
What do you think about it? What are your opinions on the truck?
To your point, and then I'll explain my side of the truck. But one is the PE Motorsports team in Kentucky. They had a Rivian, and they towed a 20-foot or 25-foot enclosed trailer, something like that, with the Supra inside, with a Rivian. They got 90 miles on one charge. Towing on an electric vehicle is not doable for the near future. Unless I can get over 200 miles or 300 miles of charge in an electric truck, I don't think I'll be getting one for towing purposes.
Even if it had that range, I still stand on the point of like when you actually do need a charge, the current setup is just not feasible.
It's not exactly.
Yeah, go on.
So that's one. Second point is, I think this is public knowledge, but Toyota is currently lobbying against the government. Right there, because the government's pushing so much for electric cars, and the infrastructure is not ready. And by 2030, there needs to be a lot of electric cars on the market that pushed by the government. And Toyota's kind of pushing back, and we're like saying like this is not ready. We're not like as a nation, as globally, we're not ready for it because the infrastructure doesn't exist. There's already a lot of blackouts happening in California, for example. So. We'll see what happens. Obviously, it depends depending on who wins the election. With Trump, it wasn't as bad. With Biden, I think it was expected to be somewhere between Obama and Trump. And then Biden came along, and the regulations were actually twice or three times as worse as Obama's, or stricter than Obama's. In the electric field, in the automotive world, so like it's been kind of mayhem for every automotive out there right now. That's just kind of, I guess, insider information here. But yeah, so that's kind of it's interesting to see. We'll see what happens with electric cars and if the infrastructure is ready by then. But as far as the Cybertruck goes, I wasn't a huge fan of it when I saw images of it and I saw how it was revealed and how big it was going to be. And I just thought it was like an ugly refrigerator. excuse me. But seeing it in person, I think it's just ahead of its time, I think. I think it's... Jason Kamisa made a good point about how like every electric car out there is trying to mimic a normal car. Like we expected 20 years ago, 30 years ago, we were like expecting cool, like interesting looking futuristic cars, right? That didn't really happen. And Cybertruck is probably the first example of it that like just being outrageous and just what you imagine a car would look like from 50 years from now, right? Now it could either be out of its time, or it could either be a flop, you know, in terms of looks. I think only time will tell.
Yeah, I see that as well. Well,
would I get one? No, I would not get one. But I do want all the technological advancements that the truck has in my truck.
Oh, yeah. It is actually crazy with the 800-volt system. For example, on the battery technology, it blew my mind, like, hearing that. It had the same exact acceleration rate and power level in that case at 100% state of charge or 30% state of charge. And that's really cool to me because in my Model 3, 100% at 100%, we have max acceleration and it's somewhere in the neighborhood of 3.7 with the acceleration boost added on. And then when it gets down to the 30% range or anything lower, it is... feels, I never timed it myself, but it feels like a low 5-second car. And don't get me wrong, so quick, but like there is a significant power drop off, which is then phenomenal to hear that this truck maintains its same power level, whether you're at 100% or 30%. And that is due to the fact that the 800 volt system, now granted, I'm no electrical engineer, so call me out if I'm saying there's anything wrong, but because of the higher voltage, you can then run less current. And because you're running less current, you have less heat generation. And so like the thermal management becomes a lot easier. And just like extracting the power becomes the same across the battery's state of charge. So there's a whole lot more, again, that I don't know about electrical engineering, but I thought that's my favorite thing when it comes to like what I cannot wait to see from this truck applied to other EVs is that 800 volt battery system. And then the 48 volt subsidiary or secondary power system that like powers everything else, that's something that will benefit all cars, regardless of your EV or internal combustion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's the, I mean, this is going to get nerdy, but it's the P equals VI formula, right? Like power equals voltage times current. So if current is low, then the voltage is high, kind of makes up for it.
Yeah. Pretty cool. Well, man, I knew, I knew about the formula, but I didn't know why that formula works, if that makes sense.
Gotcha.
Next field engineering theory. Anyways, what are you going to ask? What else
did I do? What else did you do over the weekend besides the Cybertruck?
What else did we do? We did the baby thing with Ravi and Michelle. I didn't make one, but celebrated Michelle's pregnancy with Ravi.
You didn't?
No, that's not happening yet. That's a later topic.
Okay.
What was funny though, over at Ravi's farm, you didn't see this, but when we first got there, we had Ariel. By the way, I guess for some people who don't know, Ariel is my little attack dog. She weighs approximately 12 pounds. But
she fights the biggest dogs out there, and I've told her this multiple times. If a dog attacks her, I'm not saving her, dude. I'm not. deserves it.
Well, not only does she bark at other dogs, unfortunately, hasn't got her butt kicked yet because of it. They have this alpaca named Chip, and it's like the brownest color that you can imagine. Like he looks like a chocolate chip, and so it was a very fitting name for him. But he was raised inside. His mother had passed away when the alpaca was whatever a baby alpaca is. And so Michelle's parents raised it inside their suburban home, and at the home they also have the dog. And so this alpaca was bottle fed, raised alongside humans, raised alongside of another dog, so it has a lot of dog traits. It'll wag its tail, it'll come and introduce you or greet you. And
it was chasing people all the time.
Yeah.
Jumping on people, looking as if he was small, but he wasn't small. He jumped on me, and I was like, whoa. I'm like a 6 feet tall, 200-pound guy, but still, like, I was like kind of taken off guard for that.
Anyways, back to Ariel. Ariel had a little barking match with his alpaca, and that was it. I was afraid the alpaca would chase her, but nah, the alpaca was just like, what the fuck is this little thing? It's a squirrel that actually barks back at me. And then we took Ariel inside, and that was it. The actual farm dog they have, Harlow. He's a sweetheart. Yeah, that was Saturday. Sunday was Christmas Eve, and unfortunately, Carol developed a cough, so we stayed home, didn't really see many people. And then you and I met up with Kenny. We went out, and man, so what, up in North.
What mods have you done to your car since the last time?
Oh, man, you're going to bring that up. All right, well, okay. So the Thursday before driving down, so Thursday night, I installed my Cobb front mount intercooler. As like one of the mods I was doing for this upcoming year. And the reason I went ahead and did that front mount intercooler install is because for the underglow that I also installed, I had to take the bumper off because I wanted to light up the intercooler. So since I was already in there, I was like, well, I might as well install the intercooler so I don't have to take the bumper off again. Well, I've already taken it off twice since then because when we were heading over to the warehouse to meet up with Ravi and the other people, I got into fourth gear, and when I started to accelerate, it popped the boost coupler, which honestly, like, I expected that to happen on when I first installed it. I installed it Thursday night, ripped it around, did data logs, and the boost coupler held. So I was like, sweet, I'm good to go. Drove up to Dallas with that other Focus RS guy. Him and I were kind of messing around and still did not pop a boost coupler, thank goodness. But then that night before meeting up with everyone, I popped the boost coupler. So that was unfortunate. Fixed that. And then come Sunday night when you and I and Kenny are all hanging out, we found like a neat little empty lot and nice and safe little area away from any homes, businesses, no one to bother, but a little skid path to ourselves. Started to slide it around and pop it goes again. So it went from like, oh, I'm going to sell the intercooler to avoid having to take the bumper off again. Ended up, I've taken it off two more times and now I have to do it again. Oops, didn't mean to clap because the big cover keeps popping off. And granted, it is my fault. I was too lazy to go and put on the aftermarket ones that came with the Cobb intercooler. So I'm going to give those a try. I was messaging a separate, like the Grid Life group, and I did tell them that I was already running aftermarket clamps. That's because in my head they were identical to what the stock ones are, and I looked at them and they seem a little beefier, so I'll give it a shot, but I don't have much hope. They actually have some pretty good recommendations to go, I think, with Vibrant clamps.
Vibrant's pretty good.
Have you heard of them? Vibrant? Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sweet. I'll probably look into that. Yeah, because like the T-bolt clamps that come with the Coblin. Oh, no, sorry. The worm clamps that come with the cob in a cooler, they just look a little bit better than what I already have stock. But I'm gonna go for the vibrant ones and give them a shot. Yeah, I think they're T-bolt clamps. Gotcha. Anyways, yeah. So I got to resolve that.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely figure that out before we go on track. Because if it pops out on track over and over again within like a quarter of a lap, then you in retrospect made your car more unreliable than it was before.
Oh yeah, 100%. Yeah, I'm turning the Focus RS into an Evo, blowing boost couplers. In any case, yeah, that was unfortunate. But at least I got to have some fun. I got at least one video of me sliding it around. Mm-hmm. I don't know why I've been craving sliding like Focus around for a while now.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was pretty satisfying, even though it's only one donut. I was hoping to say donuts plural, but it was just a singular donut. But hey, I would argue I got more tire smoke out of that one donut than you did the entire night.
Yep, I agree. I don't have as much power as you do, and you were also on All Seasons. That
did make it a lot easier. Yeah. All Season tire. No. They're not All Season. They're summer tires.
They're 300 treadwear or whatever.
Yeah.
They're still not as grippy as like 200 treadwear, right?
Oh, 100%.
Yeah, like when I do it with the GT radials, that creates a lot of smoke, and it's really easy on that because it's just not enough grip on that. So.
Corrected me.
Uh-huh.
Circling back to Cybertruck real quick. they are not soft closed doors.
I told you.
I thought they were. I don't know. Maybe I just closed the door softly and I thought I saw it like soft closing every time.
No, you're just a soft man.
Don't put your fingers between the door. Don't put your fingers between any metal parts on that Cybertruck. That's it. But for that's also car. True for any car. That is true for any car.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah, for me, same thing. The baby party thing, and then Sunday I cleaned. Did I clean? What did I do Sunday?
You cleaned. You told me you were cleaning.
I didn't clean.
You told me you were okay.
I ended up cleaning. Oh, I got. Oh, I'll share this in a different podcast. But when we talk about sponsorships and whatnot, but I did get new coilovers, so I will be installing those. And I got Advans, so I'm getting my car ready for clout. You know. As us kids would say nowadays. Yeah.
Bullshit. You've been saying that for the past 2 years.
Yeah, I am a kid. Okay, gosh.
For everyone who hasn't heard already or know, how old are you, Fez?
I'm 27.
I'm 31. What am I doing hanging out with you? Goddamn. No wonder I'm still like nearly getting caught by the cops like I'm in high school still.
Fair, all my friends they're near 30 or over 30.
Sorry, say it again. I totally blanked.
I said, like, to be fair, all my friends are near 30 or over 30.
How old is Kenny?
29,
28,
I think.
How old is
Raza? 29. He's gonna be, they both are gonna be 30 this March, actually.
Holy crap, I did not know either one of them were that old.
Yeah.
I honestly didn't know that they were closer in my age than to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was the last one to graduate. Everyone kind of graduated before me.
Huh. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah. And then I went with one of our buddies. He's a huge gun fanatic. He's like a room full of just guns. Zach. he's the one whose house we recorded our first podcast in.
While he was drunk in bed.
Yep.
Or hungover in bed.
And I got a social security number. That was cool.
Yep, draw little peanuts on his neck. I'll add that to the show notes. How about that? Or to the Instagram post. All right, go on.
We went out. He was training some of his mom's neighbors or something like that on the gun range of gun safety and shooting and whatnot. So I just tagged along because I also wanted to learn. I think because guns aren't going away anywhere, and I think it's really important to learn gun safety and do it in like a safe manner. I went out with them. I learned a lot. It was a very, very educational how to you know, hold to yourself, how to, you know, hold a gun and, you know, be safe with it and make sure nothing's in the chamber, et cetera, et cetera. Just basic gun safety stuff. I started off kind of bad, and then over the span, I guess I started hitting every shot. So I was pretty proud of myself for that.
There you go.
But yeah, and then on the way back, I saw the GT3 RS today, and that was my day today.
Are you off? You are off work all week, aren't you?
I'm off till the first, or I'm off on the first too.
Yeah, lucky. Yeah. I have to work all week, except for yesterday. Mm. That's pretty cool. Yeah, with the gun safety aspect, I do. I just agree. I really want to get a CDL or get a gun license. Mm. CDL.
You want to get a CDL?
Not a CDL, although I think you should have one to drive the kind of RV that Eddie's driving around. In any case, yeah, I just want to go and get like proper training and licensing for. I don't have a gun, but I want to go and get a license to use one safely. Same. Or at least train. Same. Yeah, it's a good idea. And if shit hits the fan and we really do go into the apocalypse, at least now we know what kind of vehicle we want to be in. We're hitting up Robbie.
It's going to be a prototype, so it'll just break on us.
That'd be better. Oh, that's true.
and then you got to wait. What are you going to do if you need to charge it? You're just going to wait at this charging station for 2 hours with the zombies
just
attack
don't
you?
Don't tell anything.
Hell no. I'm using my truck because it's indestructible, apparently.
No, the ideal is to have Cybertruck being your truck and whatever's shooting at you. You put the Cybertruck there to protect your truck, but then once the...
We take the panels off the Cybertruck and put it on my truck. There you go.
Solve. Actually, that is a lot better. I was going to say, actually, the next best thing, with once Zach takes care of whoever is attacking us, then we go and put the Cybertruck back onto the trailer behind your truck and carry on.
The women and the pregnant women and kids go in the Cybertruck. And then being towed by the Tundra.
I don't blame them at all.
Weird tangent we're going on. Okay. What's the topic for today? Do we have a topic, or do we want to?
Well, since as far as topic, so we're coming up on the end of the year. So do you want to talk on like the peaks and valleys that you've had for 2023?
Yeah. Peaks. I was actually thinking about this recently. As I was kind of going through my photos and whatnot, this was the first year of my car. It's the V2 of my car was this year, right?
Wait, what do you mean?
Version 2 of my car.
Okay, no shit, V2 means version 2?
Yeah. Okay, let me explain. So like the last year, I started off with a stock car, right? I did not have the wrap on it, no aero, no nothing for the first event. And that was, you know, a good learning experience. And
that was NCM, right?
That was NCM last year. Yeah. And then from there, when I went to Midwest Festival, that's where I installed aero on it. I kind of like just hodgepodge the aero together with like sort of 70 or 80 pound chassis mount wing, which was super, super high. It was on stock tune. The car drove like absolute shit. It was understeered everywhere. It was heavy and slow, right? I was like matching my FRS times with it back in the day. This year, it was my first year with a tune. So I actually got the car tuned. I dropped 150 pounds out of the car. And the car now, like obviously in the beginning, it still kind of drove hit or miss because of the rake and the suspension settings that I had. But it's drove 100 times better than last year. And the amount of transitions that I've had with the car and like the amount of learning that I've had with the car this year and how fast it's gone was, it boggled my mind. Literally the first event at Rev Up Michigan, Gentleman event. My goal was to get sub 40 this year, right? It wasn't my goal. My goal was to get sub 42 this year. And I talked to DJ and I was like, yo, DJ, like I got tuned. I dropped this much weight. Do you think it's possible for me to go sub 40? And he's like, hell yeah. Like if the conditions are there, hell yeah. And I was like, I was like, you know what? Maybe I'm just not as good of a driver. So I wouldn't be able to do it. I think first session out, I was up there, sub 40. And they got 39 so cool. flat. It was so 3 seconds faster than my goal and almost 6 seconds faster than last year.
That is wild to see that kind of a delta improvement. That is awesome, man. Yeah, that's awesome.
And the same thing. sorry.
I was gonna say that's very similar to Laguna time, and I remember you saying that previously, where the time between Gingerman and Laguna are very, very similar, almost to like the second or half a second.
Yeah, and, cool. And it's the car has gotten so much faster in just a span of a couple months. I guess not a couple months, but a year. I can't wait to see what happens next year, dude. Like, I'm really, really excited. I'm not doing as much as I did last year, because I think the car is already very competitive. Maybe just a little bit more weight reduction and better coilovers, but I'm really excited. I think I got a diff towards the end of the year as well, which I think definitely should help Gingerman. I think I should, if the weather conditions are the same as it was last year, for a rev up, I should be in the 38s pretty easily this year. That'd be
awesome. Hey, with your differential, did you get it installed before or after HMP?
Before HMP. After Mid-Ohio, before HMP.
Oh, sweet. Okay.
Because the car, the diff just kept opening every single event. At rev up, my diff opened up every single corner. So I was driving basically an open diff car for most of the year.
That's rough. That's really rough. But yeah, it's actually pretty. Actually, here's the other thing about your car and your build and what you've been able to accomplish is the fact that you did it mechanically with the install of everything yourself. Mm-hmm. And the parts, like, yeah, you have sponsors here and there that are helping you out, but it's not not everything was completely free. So, like, you did put in both your time and your money into getting it where it's at, which is awesome. And it shows.
I appreciate it, man. Like, it was a lot of work. But again, it's a lot of work, but at the same time, not as much work as some of the other competitors having to do, right? People are going through full engine swaps in their cars, right? And in the class that I'm at. And I have, I think, shown that you could just buy a GR86 and just bolt some stuff on and take some stuff out, and then you'll have a very competitive car. You don't have to go through crazy engine swaps and go through reliability issues, right? Every single K-swap car this year had some sort of a reliability issue. You know, Dana had a bolt in his flywheel that stripped at Autobahn, so he was out after the first session. Peter had issues every single event, and I felt bad for him. And I think it wasn't until Laguna, and even at Laguna, he was having issues. And I was, knock on wood, man, like, the car has been very reliable and very fast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that is awesome. And what's also really cool, I don't know if anyone else has spoken to you about this or kind of told you what I'm about to say, is that your name and, like, there are people that, like, know about you without, that you don't know. And what I mean by that is, it was like 2 weeks ago, I met up with a guy over here in Pflugerville. And Raza wanted me to pick up this guy bumper because Raza wanted to use it for his Miata. This guy's name is Yusef, and then we started talking about grid life. He has a Miata right now, and he was actually aware of you and, like, knew about you, which is pretty cool. Like, the fact that, like, your name goes beyond the people that you immediately know. Or even have you even heard of. So I was just gonna say, like, that is pretty neat. And it's like, whoa, like, your name is going pretty far and your car is well known. I think if I remember correctly, he said, like, oh, Fez, yeah, the guy with the yellow GR86. I was like, oh yeah.
That's super cool. I never thought I'd get to that point. But it's happening. I did another podcast with Apex Files, and they were also talking about, like, just...
Oh, my God, you podcasting whore. Okay, go on.
I'm cheating. I'm sorry. no, they were also talking about, I think, what they mentioned, I guess, tooting my horn a little bit. But I think they just enjoy watching me because of my persona of the banana man. And it's different than most people's, and I'm kind of out there myself, which helps, I guess. But... honestly, I'm just being myself, man. I love it.
I know.
Yeah,
I've known you long enough to realize that this is nothing new. This is not a show.
I'm not playing on a show. It's just me. This is the funniest thing was one day at Midwest Festival, I was, like, partying it up, like, screaming and, like, you know, being myself. And the next day, one of the guys.
Yourself?
Yeah, my 100% myself. And then one of the guys comes up next day and he's like, dude, I have never seen you that drunk in my life. You're so cool when you're drunk. And I was like, dude, I was 100% sober. Like, I had zero. That is just me. And I was like, all right, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. That's hysterical. That's like, awesome.
People at work also like calling me and messaging me about like, oh, dude, you're Fez from Grid Life. I watch you on live stream. And I was like, oh, thank you. Dope.
Dude, that's awesome. Yeah, I had a little bit of that whenever I was at Laguna, and Grilla didn't cover like my card specifically, mm-hmm. really at any point during the stream. But like, I was being mentioned here and there as I was battling for a fifth and trying to get into the. I was in sixth, battling for fifth, trying to get into the podium sprint, and I was bouncing around from fifth, eighth, back up to seventh. In any case, later on, when I got back and was posting about my time to the Austin group, yeah, there were people over here in Austin that would just turn on the stream just so they could actually like watch my car go around. They were like, oh, yeah, you were representing the Focus chassis well. I was like, well, cool, because I was the only Focus out there. But any case, thanks for the props. But yeah, it's just cool.
It's cool. It's cool what Grid Life has allowed us to do and become.
Yep. I agree. Yeah,
so I'm really, really grateful for the organization for that.
Oh, and actually, speaking of which, I thought about this earlier today when I was listening to Adam's podcast. Mm-hmm. What I really like about is that like everybody knows, or everybody should at least know, who Adam is. Like, he is a phenomenal owner of the organization. And he puts himself out there. He's always seeking interest and getting feedback and making sure that his friends and homies like have a good time. Like, he looked at he wants the organization to grow, yes, but I get the feeling that he is looking at Grid Life as, let me put on the best event possible so that way like my friends and I can have a great time. Like, if I were to be a competitor or a spectator at one of the Grid Life events, how would I want to feel? And he tries to make sure that he is putting everything forward to deliver on the kind of event that he would expect if he put his money into the event. Does that make sense, what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, and that definitely makes sense. And I think that shows in the event too. Like, yeah, of course, there's times where the event isn't ran the best because just, you know, it's the first time there or something. But
yeah, or like fog rolls massive in and creates a 3-hour delay in Laguna on your first day out there ever. Like, shit happens.
Yeah, it shit happens. But at the end of the day, like, it's the best event I've ever been to. And people that have driven, other people that I know that have driven from Texas to other events as like their first time, it's a whole different vibe. And it's they enjoy it with way more than the local events. And the local event or runners, they don't like that as much. But, you know, it is what it is. It's just either improve or you get left behind.
I think I'm starting to see improvements across the board from at least a couple of organizations. Where
now like Apex X trying, for example, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. When I think of like a Texas local track organization, I look at Apex right now. I unfortunately, I haven't been to one of their events yet, but from what I've heard and what I'm seeing is that it is a very attractive local alternative to what Grid Life has to offer. So hopefully they keep doing that, especially with their Lap Attack format. So I definitely...
I checked my class for the Lap Attack. I'm in Lap Attack 3 or whatever it's called with Corvettes. Corvettes and GTRs, and I'm just like, all right, well, that's gonna be
sick. So I did the I'd be class into Lap Attack 4. So I don't know what that lands me in.
I think that's like said... TT3 equivalent or TT3 or TT4 equivalent.
Yeah, there aren't too many questions. Just questions like, I actually have it already pulled up. I'm running my stock arrow, yes. Am I force inducted? Yes. What's my horsepower? There's a range. So right now I've set to 351 to 400 horsepower. And then choose your weight category. I selected 3,000 to 3,500. Says I get 7 points, and then that lands me in Lap Attack 4. But I'm not going to go too much further into it because I don't know who else is in that Lap Attack 4 group.
Oh, wait. I'm in Lap Attack 4 too. Never mind.
Oh, shit. Okay, well... That makes
sense. I'm gonna whoop your ass, son. Well, I'm whoop your ass. When I see you out there, you better be ready.
Damn, that would actually be really cool to go and compete against you in like an actual like.
Our cars are very different, but somehow they always do similar times, and I love that.
I love it too. So I did 39. Actually, hold on. Let me pull up my actual track time so I don't BS this. So over Laguna, I did a 39.3. What did you do?
39.1.
At HMP, I did a 45.6.
Oh, I don't remember HMP. Hold on.
Bruh.
Grid life. I think what'd you do again?
I did a 45.6. 45.6.
Oh, I think I was faster than you there.
I think so. I think you did a 43.
45.1. Oh, wait. I did 45.1.
Holy shit. So half a second. So, okay. So half a second there.
For some reason, I was in the 43s, but that was Dana.
That's who you were chasing. Yeah. Audubon. Jeez. Country Club. I'm not going to count that because, again, I was under limp mode, but I did a 37.8.
Yeah, I did a 32 something there.
Yeah, I'm telling you, I'm not counting that one at all. Oh, PPIR. So I actually beat your PPIR time. I did a 103.6.
That's when the car was stock as well for me. So
no, it wasn't. That was version one. You had your
stock tune. I had stock tuned. The arrow was just slowing me down.
What arrow? There's no arrow up there. We're a mile high in the air.
Yeah, you're right.
I'm kidding. What about NCM?
220? Yeah, 220, I think. Or 222.
I wonder why I was so slow there. I did a 223 there. Huh.
I was also on the stock tune there. And I was stock arrow, stock tune, stock weight.
Oh, I know what. So NCM, I was on my 93 tune. I did not fill up on E30. So that was on my 93 tune, and I must have been on R2660s. I think, yeah, I was on R2660s then. Okay, yeah. So what we've learned in that case is that my car and your car are very comparable as long as I am on E30, and, PPIR was on R2660s, so I don't know if you want to count that or not. But effectively, if I'm on E30, then it's a lot closer, and arguably, since I'm on RE71 RS tires, that's also another second or two.
So not only is that we're very comparable, it's also that we've been comparable throughout the timeline of the car. Like, as we've evolved the cars, we've both gotten faster and both been very equivalent.
Yep.
Right? Yeah. Like, you went from, you had our first event, I was stock aero, just wheels and tires and brakes and suspension. And you had aero and 93 tune at ECR, and I barely beat you there, right? I got like a 210, and you got 211 or 212?
212.
With Ravi in the seat with you, so like get a passenger with you. So still like comparable. It's interesting, but yeah, that's kind of my highs of the. I don't even know if I got into it too much, but I got the GR product manager role, right? I think I told you guys that, and that's also because of my car, by the way. I don't know if I mentioned that, but I interviewed for that role last year around when we were at PPIR, and on the way back, I got a call that I didn't get it, and I was really upset. But it is what it is. A year goes by and I bring my car to work because I had to go to an alignment shop right after. And the manager of that role, he saw my car and he asked me to interview again once he saw my car. And that's kind of like how I sold myself in a way. I was like, okay, yeah, this guy's like legit, right? He saw my car in person for the first time. And so it's really, really interesting how like it. Things can change just based off of one car, and I don't think I can sell this car now.
I don't think you can either. I don't think anyone else would even want you to. Like, it would actually be a pretty sad moment in the grid life community if you were not seen in a yellow 86 chassis.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But yeah, that's pretty cool. Any other highs you got for the year? You got your new role.
I started my business as well for Marisa Motorsports. Fun fact, we're sponsored by Marisa Motorsports now. Just dropping it out there. If you guys want parts, buy from Marisa Motorsports. Even if you don't have an 86, I can still hook you up. Let me know.
Wait, hold on. What do I get out of the sponsorship? Does that mean you get to go?
I sell you parts at cost.
Oh, man, I thought you were going to do all the editing on the podcast now.
That's not sponsorship. Would you rather get cheap parts or free editing?
Give me the cheap parts, please.
Okay, there you go. That's what Thank you. And okay. Cheap tires, okay? Gosh.
Yeah, that's true. You do help me out there.
Yeah, so that was a really big one. I don't know what just happened there. Sorry.
I'm not cutting that out.
I've always wanted to have my own business with doing something in motorsports, right? And I did not know how to get into it. Like, I wanted, I looked at FT Speed as one of the brands when it was owned by, I think I'm blanking on the name, Jeremy, JB Autosports. Yeah. When it was owned by them. And I was like, you know what? That's a goal for me. I want to do something similar, and I want to do something like, but this is since high school or college, right? And finally getting to do something similar. And I'm trying to like set up my name through Grid Life and set up the website. So it's, I'm a little bit different than most of these other websites, which I'll be launching soon. So keep an eye out for that as well. Yeah, it's been very humbling. It's not easy.
That's awesome. I'm really proud of you for starting your business. And that's actually another reason why, like, seeing your success from Marizo, not that a podcast could ever, okay, not ever, but like, not that I'm trying to get like this little podcast that we're doing to get to that level. Yeah. But it was just like, you know what, just go out there and just do it and see where it lands. At worst case, you're going to have fun.
Yeah.
And so that's why I've seen this. But have I ever told you my other crazy idea that I would love to do around creating a business? Maybe not a business, but like a side hustle at different track events.
Oh, the dog park?
Yes. Okay. Yeah. Oh, wow. You remember. Yeah. Little doggy daycare. Because like, there's so many times where we want to bring Ariel, but then it's like, shit, it's going to be difficult to bring her. And that's actually the easy part. It's going to be difficult to take care of her while I'm out on track and Carol is wanting to take photos of me. Especially when she has a media pass and she's able to get around to unique spots on the track. They don't allow the dogs to go over there. And let's take Audubon, for example. If we did have her at Audubon, then and Carol went out to take photos, we can't just leave Ariel in the car where it's like 97 degrees. It's way too freaking hot. And so what I would like to go and propose or like have business around is like having a dedicated parking area that is fenced off with some fake turf, water, shade. Maybe if it's really hot, have some fans and mist going and have an area, a safe space for drivers or other spectators to bring their dogs and just like, hey, you want, I don't know, $20, whatever it would cost, leave your dogs with me. I'll take care of them. I'll watch them. And then you go out and do your event and you come get your dog whenever you want. It could be like an all day thing, come and go. And that way the dog can have fun, dogs, owners with their dog. And at the same time, they don't have to worry about the dog when they go out on track.
Dude, do it. I think you should just fuck it, do it. I don't know.
I need a really. I don't know how to
sign like an LLC or anything for that yet either. Just do it off of Venmo or Zelle for a little bit. It's not. I wouldn't say it's too hard to set that up either. I mean, you would need, instead of Carol taking photos, you would probably have to have her dog sit.
Yeah, but it would have to be a. Yeah, that's the challenging part. Is that
it
doesn't solve the issue of like when I go out and Carol's taking photos of me, who the heck is watching all the dogs that are there at the paddock area?
Yeah, that's gonna be the tough part. But I think it's minimal investment. Just do it.
That's not too bad.
Do it for one event and see how it goes. And then if it works, it works. It doesn't.
Well,
you're not losing any money.
Yeah, and what I would probably still would go ahead and do it just for Ariel, and then see if anyone else is like, oh, that's a good idea. Oh, hey, can I bring my dog over? And then kind of my word of mouth get going with Abe's and Adam's approval, because they also need the tracks. I also need the tracks approval, but like, it's just an idea of that.
Do you need the tracks approval for that?
I'm not. Oh, I guess I could just go for ask for forgiveness instead of permission.
I don't think you need tracks approval for that, but you could just talk about him.
We'll see this. If you see me on the side of the track with dogs, then someone said, go ahead and do it, Nick.
I can also share in like different groups for you as well to get more people in there. Because like, there's so many people that bring their dogs to the event. You know,
dude, I know who's going to do it. Carol's mom. Carol's mom's
always still going to be in America?
Oh, yeah. She's with us long term. Yeah.
Bless you.
Bless me?
Yeah.
Dude, no, it's okay. I don't know if you're trying to make it sound like it's a bad thing, but it's actually a great thing because she does all the cooking now. She is always willing to clean, and like it has opened up my time and Carol's time to like doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And
I didn't mean it as a bad thing, by the way. Sorry. I just want to clarify that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. In any case, like I love having her around, and this could be her way of like, she wants to go out to the events and she enjoys taking care of Ariel. Maybe she'll be interested in making some cash and taking care of other dogs too. I got to talk to Carol about this now. Okay. So, in any case.
Let's cut that piece out, maybe.
She's going to find out about this and listen to the podcast tomorrow.
All right. Sounds good. But, yeah, so what are some of your highs and lows of the year?
So, how do I want to go about this? So, okay. So, you started on, like, the peaks. I'm actually going to start off on, like, the valley aspect. And, like,
never
the very.
On the valleys, but, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I'll go ahead and say, like, as far as, like, the valleys for me, starting off in 2023, January, was the passing of my father. So he had passed on January 19th. So this entire year, my family and I have been managing, handling of all of his assets, and not necessarily hard, but, like, it just added an extra layer of complication to where I couldn't, like, dedicate a whole lot of time to everything. Like, it just takes time away from stuff you would want to be doing or progressing on. One thing that I completely dropped in order to go and, like, spend time managing the assets for my mother, who isn't very computer literate, the FE exam. So, like, I really wanted to go and take my FE exam this year and ideally get my PE exam. That completely went out the window so I could help my mother out. So that was kind of a valley, like, and I'm not saying it's sad in the sense that, like, oh, I wish, like, of course I wish he didn't pass away, and I'm not excusing it, but it's just, like, that was a valley, and it, like, rippled into another valley is all I'm getting at. But we're doing better off and we're good. But yeah, he had passed away from his cancer, really. He had multiple myeloma, and he had been battling his cancer since 2012. So 2023, yeah, 11 years he'd been battling his cancer, and it finally, unfortunately, kind of got morbid and put an end. But he was quite the trooper, and didn't really, I guess I kind of touched on him last podcast. But he was never very supportive in, like, me doing car stuff until, of course, I did it long after. But, like, in his last 2 years, he was actually not very interested, but he was interested in what I was doing and, like, actually asking questions about, like, oh, how'd your race do? Did you do as well as you wanted? Or what do you think you can improve on next? So it was cool to see him asking those questions. And even if during my, I guess, college years or high school years where I wanted to be a motorsports and he was unsupportive, he was still ultimately the reason why I got into cars in the first place. Because, like, I wasn't buying these Hot Wheels or buying these car video games or doing anything car related. I was not buying that myself. Like, it was his money that he was supporting me through my childhood. So, like, I have everything that I have today. Mm-hmm. Really, in essence, comes from him. Like, I have him to thank for, so to where I sit today, because, yeah, not that he was ever fully supportive, but, like, he did plant the seeds to get me where I am at today. So, mm-hmm. So bringing in last week's podcast into this week's podcast. So, in any case, progressing forward into 2024 is really going to be, I think, the year that is the next chapter in my family's storyline. In any case, that's why we sold the property up in Minnesota, so we'll see how we're going to handle with that and how that gets dealt with. In any case, so that was a valley. The other valley, the other valley is in the same month prior to my dad passing with Ken Block. So, like, he was the reason why I kind of got into a focus. So, like, not only did I have my own father passing, but then I also had, like, to me, like, the ultimate vehicular hero, like, the person that I kind of look forward to in all aspects of motorsports. Mm-hmm. He also passed, so that was tough. In any case, that was a pretty big valley we just stepped into. What were you going to say?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, man, I'm, again, really sorry about what happened. And obviously, it's with time, right? Everything is okay, but... yeah. I'm really proud of you for how you kind of took over and managed the whole situation and are still managing the situation for your family. Like, a lot of people don't know this, but I've talked to you and seen and you know, kind of know a little bit of what's going on in the background, and I'm really, really proud of you for how you're dealing with everything. So I hope you know that.
Thanks. Thanks, man. That does mean a lot.
Yeah.
Okay. So that was a valley, and then I'm going to go run to the peak that I got up to, which was, for me, going to Korea for 2 months. So, this also comes out on the hindsight of the valley, because I was actually in Korea when he had passed. And so I had to come back from Korea and handle that. But then I was able to go back to Korea. And my goodness, am I thankful for everyone I work with. And there are so many names that out there that helped me get through the hard time and get back to going to Korea for work. And I just cannot thank any of them. Like, if you're listening to this, you know who you are. And so going to Korea was an incredible experience, not only like career wise, but then also just culture wise, because I was finally able to go to an Asian country for the first time. My wife is Chinese, and while I have not been to China, it was like as close as I could get given the travel restrictions that we had in 2023 coming out of COVID on the tail end. In any case, it was just so much fun. It was a grand old time. I actually want to have like a separate podcast where we just talk about like other cultures, if you ever desire to do that, Fez. And like, there was so much to discuss when it comes to Korea, but like, that was an incredible peak. Mm-hmm. And then the other one was, I don't really have any other major peaks for the year besides kind of going out to different grid off events. I guess Laguna as a trip as a whole was a phenomenal peak.
That trip was a lifelong goal for a lot of us. So
it was. Yeah, it absolutely was. I guess start this podcast. You know what? I'm going to end it. Like, we're wrapping it, coming around to the end of the year. And like, the podcast alone was a significant peak. Just starting it, who knows? Like, if we only got five, I know we have more than five listeners. I should not make that joke anymore. But like, just the fact that like people are actually listening and being interested and actually interacting with us, mm-hmm. as well as like sending their questions to the Instagram, like that is all very, very cool. We'll get to those questions, but those are the main valleys and the main peaks that I had for 2023.
Nice, dude. Yeah, I mean, like I said, really proud of you for what you've done this year, and with all the adversity that you faced as well. Really, really proud of you. And then also for the podcast, right? What I'm trying to say is that it's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? Why am I blanking on the word?
If I knew it, I'd throw it at you, but I have no idea where you're going with this.
It's kind of off the whim, right? Like, you just kind of randomly messaged me about how you wanted to start a podcast and the reasoning behind it, even though we haven't really done that. We haven't done the racing home part of it. It's been really, really fun just like talking to you and hanging out with you more than I normally get to. So really, it's really cool.
Yeah. That also like, you make it a great, second host, co-host, your main host. In any case, what I'm getting at is that, it's, I'm not sick of you yet. And so it's awesome being able to talk to you some more.
Okay. Good to know. Love you, dude. Go ahead and get into questions.
Yeah, I'm looking through my photos real quick on Instagram to make sure I didn't miss on any other peaks or valleys. Nah. Well, I guess the expedition was a pretty solid peak. Buying the expedition was pretty awesome. Getting rid of the ridgeline.
We should talk about tail rigs.
Ooh, hell yeah. Even though I'm not probably going to use the toe rig too much next year, but yeah, let's do that. Yeah, let's dig into questions. We are pretty deep in the podcast already, so now is a good time to get into it. Holy shit, we're 72 minutes. Yeah. Okay, so I don't know if you noticed.
Two or three questions, and then we'll call it, wrap it up.
Yeah. So I don't know if you noticed on the notes, but I actually crossed out in green questions that we've already answered, and then in red are questions that we are not going to answer.
One of those by me.
Yep. Okay, so is there a question that you want to pull out and answer right away? If not, let me see. Ooh, I have one. Okay, I have one. I'll start it off. In the meantime, you can pick another one. So at 1evo8 ask, why not rent a two place. Oh, here. Why not rent a two? Who?
Piero.
Piero?
Yeah, his name is Piero. He is a competitor in Club TR.
Oh, sweet. Does he have a... Okay, so his question is, like, why not rent a trailer that can hold two vehicles so that the two drivers could drive together and split fuel costs?
Well, yeah, that does... why not, Nick? Okay. Why not? Huh?
This is exactly the kind of reaction I wanted to get out of you. Okay, so my reason for not wanting to split the drive with you, Fez, if I'm going to tow, Carol's with me. If I'm not towing, it's because Carol's not joining me on the trip. So if Carol is with me, then we need the expedition to sleep in the back of. Equally, I also just enjoy having like my own space in a way. But I think the sleeping aspect is the main reason why I enjoy towing by myself instead of like joining with you. Is the reason.
Next year, we're doing exactly the same events.
I know.
Legit ready to buy. Like, I'll buy a two-car trailer and split it with you. Right, my Tundra can tow two cars, maybe not easily, but can do it, right, with the bags. And as far as sleeping goes, I'm getting hotels anyways nowadays for track days. It's good. The amount of money that we'll save for fuel that you know to get there, we can use that towards a hotel.
Oh, I agree. And so what I'm literally realizing the past 30 seconds of this question is that my original plan was to go, or my current plan really, is to drive the Focus up to the events and then help use your premium parking space at your sister's place to park the car in the meantime and fly back and forth.
Yeah.
So I was not going to tow it. But if you really are dead set on getting a trailer, a long trailer for both cars, then I'll just drive the car up as I was already planning, but then park it on the trailer and help you drive it up and split fuel cost and split hotel cost. Because I don't, Carol will not be with me, so I don't have to worry about that sleeping arrangement excuse. So yeah, that's actually a really good idea.
Yeah, I mean, we can buy a two-car. I don't know where we'll store it. Probably somewhere. I don't know.
You know, we were at this weird place earlier this weekend with some alpacas. I don't know. Maybe they'll be cool with it.
Maybe if they're cool with us storing a two-car trailer. Yeah. I mean, like I said, dude, I'm 100% down doing that. Like, I think it'll help both of us out.
Dude, we should talk to Ron, actually. Sorry, I just blasted his name out there. But, like, no, seriously, like, we should see if maybe he would also be interested in chipping in on this longer trailer. You never know. Maybe...
What is he going to do with it?
Get more auction cards that sit on his property?
Well, I guess if he's allowing us to store the trailer at his place, I would just let him use our trailer.
Yeah, that's totally fair. Yeah, we should talk more about that. Okay, so that was my question. Thank you. From Fiera?
Piero. Like Fiero, but Piero.
Oh, that's actually a really good way to help me remember it.
Yeah. I'm great so guy.
Bad with name.
Love Piero. All right. Next question. It's the by Jim Smith-Aline. Also, I don't know why. I thought his last name was Smith-Aline this entire time, but it's not. It's actually Smith. I'm sorry, Jim. I knew this too, but I just forgot. Top car movies. Top car movies for me, it is somewhat recently this year, watched Gran Turismo, and I really liked that movie. It got me emotional, feeling some type of way, so really, really liked it. I think it was just relatable for me with the crash and the family aspect of things. And then I do really like the Ford versus Ferrari. Really cool to understand the history of that movie and the drivers and how it came to be. So that was really, really cool. What else? Cars 1 and Cars 3. Great movie.
The Pixar movie?
Pixar movies, yes. I love those movies. And then I don't like Fast and Furious movies now, but I'm just going to go off of a favorite Fast and Furious movies of mine. I think my favorite Fast and Furious movie was actually the second one, Too Fast, Too Furious. And then after that, it was Tokyo Drift, and then the first one. And then it just went kind of downhill from there.
Yeah. My top movie, car-related movie this year, was actually The Art of Racing in the Rain. And it wasn't even a movie that got released this year. I think it got released back in COVID or 2019. It's been a while.
Yeah.
But a family member of mine, he told me about it. And so I went ahead and watched it with Carol. And oh my God, I couldn't stop crying the entire movie because it has to do more to do with a dog than it does to do with racing. But I just like the entire time I was watching that movie, I was just like holding onto Ariel, and then Carol and I was supposed to start crying. We had like different sappy moments throughout the movie. Aww. And so like that by far, like even though it's not purely about racing or even racing in the rain, it did have to do with cars, and that was definitely my top movie of this year.
Lizard Brains did a book club for that. They did. They both, Tom and DJ, both read the books, and they had asked the audience to all read it too, I think, and then they did something with it.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to go and look into that. The other movie that I've seen car related was the Fast and Furious 10, I guess.
Oh my God.
You know, okay. Oh, I also watched Gran Turismo. That's also probably Gran Turismo is the second top. And naturally, because I only watched car-related movies this year, Fast X is now in third place, but that's because it landed in third in that class. And I didn't hate it. I actually enjoyed watching it. Do I love it? No, but I go to watch Fast and Furious movies for the comedy, and I watch them for crazy shit that should not be real, but like they make it look cool, in my opinion. And the soundtrack is awesome, and the different place they go to is awesome. They show badass off-roading rigs. They show streetcars. They show supercars. They show motorcycles. And while it's ridiculous how the storyline gets them into the situation that they go into, and of course they poke fun at it like in the last movie, I just sit there laughing and I have a good time watching it.
I refuse to pay for it though.
I paid $10 on Amazon Prime.
I judge you for that. I watched it on a plane, so it was free. I refuse to pay for a movie like that. I don't want them to keep making these dumbass movies. So
I don't agree. I wouldn't say I hate that they keep on making the movies. What I do hate, and this goes for all movie franchises right now, is I hate how they're making the finales into two or three parts. So like Fast X, the climax was the end of the movie, and now you have to go pay for another, and it's a money-making scheme. I get that, and I understand, and I hate it. So, and of course, still probably I'll go and watch the next one as well because I'm an idiot.
Funniest thing was, I think I was watching an interview with Vin Diesel, and he was like, "Yeah, I don't want to make movies anymore. I'm done making movies. I want to make masterpieces." And I was like, "Yes, Fast 10 was a masterpiece, a comical masterpiece."
When did he say that?
It was in some random interview that's like going around on social media right now, and everyone's making fun of him for it.
Was that after Fast and Furious 2?
No, it's like recent.
Oh boy.
Maybe he's in two movies that people know of. One of them is Fast and Furious, and the other one is Guardians of the Galaxy. And in the Guardians of the Galaxy, all he says is, "I am Groot."
That's true. Isn't he also in Triple X?
Yeah, that's an old movie, isn't it? It's not new.
Bro, I am 31 years old, and that's why I know about this movie. Oh my God, I type in XXX into Google and it pulls up XXX syndrome.
I was thinking it's going to pull up like a Bourne website, but...
Oh yeah, he was in the movie XXX, Return of Xander Cage. I enjoy the movie. Maybe I just enjoy Vin Diesel at the end of the day.
I don't like him.
Eh, he's fine.
Anyways, you pick the next question.
Oh shoot, I gotta go back to my so Rich asked y'all's 2024 car plans and how you also plan on improving as drivers. Okay, so the first part of the question, Rich, I think we've already answered regarding like in several podcasts ago where we talked about the upgrades we're doing. And actually Fez could probably get into his at the next podcast when he talked about some of the parts he got on. Now the second part, how do you plan on improving as drivers? Well, I just got a new Xbox, which meant I just got Forza Motorsport 8, whatever the newest one is. Not that it's a good way, but like I'm actually enjoying the game. Rich was also asking me about my opinions on the game, and we were talking to Eddie in the last podcast about the newest game. I completely understand what Eddie was getting at. The career advancement and car modification system sucks. So like I grinded out, 45 minutes, maybe an hour to get through, all the intro bullshit races and to get to the point where I could actually, buy the Focus RS. So, of course, it's going to be the first car I go and buy in the game. And so I finally got it. And as soon as I get into it, like, they have this weird point structure to where, like, all the parts are completely locked down. And you have to, like, go and race the car to gain credibility to then add parts onto the car. But it kind of – and granted, I haven't done it yet because I literally bought the car and then realized, oh, shit, I cannot install anything. All right, boot off the Xbox, go to bed. The career advancement is troubling. But at the same time, I don't hate it. I'm here to, like, play the career and, like, get through the levels, so it is what it is. The actual tire model physics of sliding it around, I think it's better. I actually enjoy driving the cars at the limit in this game more than Forza 7. But keep in mind, I have a cheapo Logitech G923 or whatever is compatible with the PC and the Xbox. Mm-hmm. And so, like, it's very arcadey in that sense. It's nothing like what you have, your Fanatec, however you pronounce it. Mm-hmm. But it has Mid-Ohio, so I'll practice Mid-Ohio in both Assetto Corsa and in Forza. And then it also has Road America, so I'll practice Road America in both of those games. Gingerman, oh, I need to re-download Gingerman onto Assetto Corsa. I need to get my SM time. But that's one way that I will be practicing is in the different games, doing sim time. And DJ, I guess I never told you, but DJ actually messaged us really on the Racing Home podcast channel, and he was saying that, like, hey, y'all need to go and get more sim time. So I was like, yes sir, I'm gonna go and get more sim time. So
I don't know if Forza counts, dude.
I love it. I've been
it's not very realistic. It's still no, like arcade.
Not at all. It is. And but any no matter what sim you go and drive, like, you're not getting the full racing experience. And so I want one where I could just, like, sit in the seat, melt into the seat like a little puddle of pudding, and just play the video game. And so reference. I was gonna say cake because I have cake sitting next to me still, but okay. Cake doesn't melt in any case or pull into puddles. Okay. In any case, for me, it is how I learn the corner, like how the corners link with each other is reason that I do it. And that's why, like, I'm going to do Mid-Ohio on Assetto and on Forza and Road America on both games just to make sure I have both flavors. But, like, by no means is any sim game going to, like, teach you everything. But I'm trying to, like, learn, like, the corners. And, hey, it makes me feel really cool when the fans go and start cheering as I come across the finish line in, like, fifth place. Assetto doesn't do that. Forza does, okay?
Yeah. There's probably a mod for Assetto that you could do for that, but...
Yeah, probably, but my PC doesn't support it because I built it in 2016. What else you got?
Damn. yeah, so same thing, Rich. Maybe not with Forza, but I've been a huge proponent of sim racing and just doing, like, laps on the sim. I know a lot of the guys use iRacing. I have yet to play iRacing. I don't know why I'm so lazy about downloading it and paying for it. I don't like that you have to pay for each individual car and each individual track. And but I mainly just do Assetto. And that helped me a lot. That helped me a lot this past year as well. Like, in the off season, I was on the sim almost every day and every night, just kind of running laps on different tracks. There was a local competition at our local track, Eagles Canyon Raceway. They built that in Assetto, and then everyone in the Discord, they would get a new car every month that would be based off of someone in that group chat and their Discord group. So, like, someone's Corvette would be rebuilt, or someone's R33 GTR would be rebuilt, or someone's BRZ or GR86 would be rebuilt in Assetto, and then we would see who would set the fastest time for that month in that car. And that was really, really helpful for me to just kind of get in, get some laps in, and just learn driving dynamics and whatnot. We're not doing that anymore, but right lately we have another Discord, which you're more than welcome to join, that we just do wheel to wheel, or we do toge runs or random things here and there with just a bunch of friends. And as far as your comment about you running a Logitech G920 or G923 or whatever, DJ made a great point at one of his podcasts. Your sim should be as good as you are as a driver.
So what you're saying is I should be downgrading Got it.
Okay. Upgrading. Because, like, I noticed that too. Like, the Logitech, like, I, it just wasn't good enough at one point, right? Like, I
felt
like it just wasn't giving me enough feedback and it wasn't giving me what I needed. And I had to upgrade to be better. And, like, as soon as I upgraded to the Fantech, I was more likely to actually play and get on the sim. And then I learned so much more. So, highly recommend upgrading your sim, Nick.
Yeah. No, I definitely see that. Okay. It's just that, as I've already stated for this year, when it comes to money on car parts and funsy stuff, I've already kind of blew through that bucket of the finance spreadsheet. So I'll have to wait till next holiday season.
You're more than welcome to come to my place and
Let me just drive 3.5 hours over to your place just every time I'm on place.
Every weekend, just come through.
I practically go to Dallas every weekend.
I know you.
Like, anytime y'all hang out, you can practically assume that I'm going to be in town and can meet up as well.
Sometimes I see you more than people that I actually live in Dallas.
Man, Kenny, Raza, what are y'all doing? Slacking.
All right.
Yeah, they're other friends of ours. Actually, one more thing I can add on to Rich's comment about, like, things that that we plan on. There's the other thing that we should be doing, which is, like, do more local events, prepare us for grid life. Again, that kind of goes back into my finance portion where it's really tough. But, you know, like, as long as it's not 105 degrees outside, if it's, like, 90 or less, like, I'm not opposed to doing some autocross. So if I'm able to, got nothing else going on, and the weather is nice, and thus that means I don't mind standing outside for 3.5 hours, then I'm not opposed to doing some autocross just so I can, like, just stay fresh and acute to what the car does. And what was the other thing too? Oh, we should go to Coda and do karting. I really want to, like, compare times.
I'm down. Sure. Yeah, I'm down. I mean, down to come down for a weekend trip. I've been wanting to come down to Austin for a while anyways.
Yep. I think right now the next time you're most likely Super Lap Battle. Perfect. Super Lap Battle weekend.
We can go in March. Karting.
Yeah, I know.
I want to come sooner.
Yeah. There's nothing to do in the cold.
It doesn't get that cold though. That's what I like about Texas, because we can still, you know, go on racetracks, actual racetracks, in January and March. Like, we only get 1 month off, really. It's February.
That's true. Yeah, we'll plan a weekend, and then we can also, we should do like not a happy hour, but like a brew with some other car people around here. Yeah, like Friday night or Saturday. That'd be cool.
Yeah, we can invite Rich, Matt, and all those other guys.
Let's do it. Okay. Are there any other questions you want to go and answer?
No, I think we've been going on for too long.
Bro, it is only 92 minutes. That's about average for us. Okay.
Average is about an hour. We're 30 minutes over.
No, our average has been like an hour and a half.
Oh, we should probably cut it down then.
No. I like this hour and a half format.
All right. Sounds good, man.
All right. Well, that was a pretty cool touching on 23 Peaks and Valleys weekend recap. Cybertruck shenanigans, and then shenanigans, and also a Cybertruck nearby. It was an awesome Christmas weekend. Like, Christmas itself didn't do a whole lot, but overall, still a memorable weekend. Yeah. So,
I hope everyone had a great holiday and happy Toyota-thon. Merry Christmas, happy Honda days, even though, you know, you're not what I want, but still. Happy New Year's, since we won't be back till after New Year.
Looking at the schedule, I don't think we're going to podcast before the end of the year. So yeah, this is the last podcast, episode 6, but last podcast for us for the year. Talk to you, dad joke, next year. Thank everyone for listening in. And as always, you can reach out to us, or specifically me right now, until I give Fez the password to the Instagram handle. But it's Raising Hope Podcast. So got any questions, you don't have to wait for me to post on the story. Go ahead and just message me, and I'll respond, and I'll give Fez the password so he can respond as well. In any case, thank y'all. Drive safe. Enjoy the holiday. Enjoy New Year's. Drink responsibly if you're going to be drinking. Just do it smart, and let's go have a fantastic New Year's and get 2024 kicked off right.
Okay, bye.
Later. Bye.
Yo, what's up?
What's up? I have my mouth full of cake right now. Hold on.
What you eating cake for?
All right, there. I swallowed.
That's what she said.